Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Gaza is burning, the words of Israel's Defence Minister Israel Katz after heavy strikes overnight targeted Gaza City. Now, Gaza is experiencing its largest mass displacement since Israel began its assault on the city last month. Thousands of families have attempted to move south under bombardment. And all this is coming as a probe by the United Nations investigators determined that Israel has been committing genocide in Gaza, something Israel says it categorically rejects. It's the first time the allegation has been made publicly by a UN body. Let's get more on all of this now. I'm joined by Belle True, who's Chief International Correspondent with the London Independent. Belle, thank you for joining us this morning. Can we first talk about what's happening in Gaza City this morning? What more can you tell us about this offensive confirmed by the Israeli military in the last number of hours? They say they're moving into the centre of the city, don't they?
Yes, they have said that this morning, that they've deployed additional troops and will continue to deploy additional troops as they push ahead with Benjamin Netanyahu's very controversial offensive to take Gaza City, which is the largest city in Gaza, and exert full boots on the ground military occupation of it. I've actually, as I'm speaking to you, I'm also speaking on WhatsApp to the director of Shifa Hospital, which was one of the largest hospitals in Gaza and is located in Gaza City. The director of the hospital is telling me it was a very tough night. The bombing did not stop for a single moment. They've got at least 20 dead in their hospital, but the injuries are coming in. Most of the victims, he's saying, are children and women, and the medical teams are exhausted and worn out. They cannot deal with the flood of injuries, the cases of amputation, the fourth degree burns, and they don't have the resources and medicines. That's literally been said to me in the last minute or so. So the situation in Gaza City is catastrophic. There are still people who are there. They, you know, a lot of people couldn't follow the forced evacuation orders from Israel, and so they are now under this bombardment.
We know about the forced evacuations, and Israel saying this morning they believe 40% of residents have gone. We've no way of verifying that, do we, Belle? Because as we know, of course, international journalists are not allowed in to Gaza. But what's your sense from what you're hearing? Can people leave Gaza City?
I think at the moment it's very, very hard from what I'm getting from very sort of spotty reports from inside Gaza City, because, you know, internet is coming and going, the roads are blocked and the bombardment is so heavy it's very difficult to move. I have spoken to people who have left Gaza City in the last few weeks. They said that one of the biggest problems is cost. A tent alone now costs £750. That's just for a tent. So imagine that's about $1,000. Imagine that you're a family who's got no access to money. Also, where do you put that tent? I was speaking to a colleague of mine who's a stringer for The Independent. He went to the so-called humanitarian zone Almawasi to try and find somewhere to put up his tent. There was nowhere, so he had to go to Deir al-Bala, where he has to rent land. They also don't have access to water. He was digging latrines. It's a logistical nightmare. This is not a case of people just getting in a car and driving south. It costs over $400 just to get a car to drive you 2 hours down the road. And then, of course, you have to try and find all the, you know, the tents and access to water and whatever you can to survive. So that's why people have stayed in Gaza City.
Mm-hmm. And also those roads are blocked, aren't they? I mean, a lot of them, you just can't move on them.
Yes, I mean, at least last week, there was one road that was accessible, which is the coastal road, which people used to get down. But that was also absolutely jam-packed, full of terrified families, with cars broken down, people in desperate situations in donkey carts. Now, that will, I imagine, will be impossible to go there. So people are basically trapped under extremely heavy bombardment, with the Israeli military saying it plans to also lay siege to Gaza. So we're talking about even less medical and food supplies getting into the population that's there.
And is the medication, the food supplies getting in, the aid getting in to the zones that the Israelis have told these people to evacuate to?
The Israelis have claimed that they have these humanitarian zones and that they are getting aid to these areas. But as we've seen repeatedly over the last few months, every single respected aid organization, international aid organization, has said that not enough supplies are getting in. There isn't enough food. There's not the right medical supplies. There isn't enough to be able to cope with a humanitarian catastrophe of this size. We're talking about the UN-backed hunger monitor saying that famine is in Gaza. So the response to that can only be be achieved through a full ceasefire and unfettered access of aid everywhere. And of course, it is very hard to do that when you're corralling a population into, you know, areas that don't have, you know, access to water, when you've got active bombardment going on, and when you have a military that's saying that its plan is to lay siege. So, you know, that directly contradicts the notion that the civilians in Gaza will have access to food and medical supplies.
Yep, and as you say, we have heard from the Israeli military this morning on what their intention is in Gaza City. They say, don't they, that there are thousands of Hamas terrorists, up to 3,000, they believe, in Gaza City, and their aim is to find those people.
Yes, Netanyahu has made it very clear that the aim of this offensive is to eliminate Hamas. But he's also facing criticism from within Israel. Even his own security establishment was seeing leaks in Israeli military that his chief of staff has said that it's not possible to deliver that kind of victory, that there's no way to, in this particular battleground and theatre of war, to be able to eliminate eliminate Hamas without there being, you know, obviously destruction to the Palestinian civilian population, but of course the remaining hostages and captives who are inside Gaza. We understand that, you know, the remaining sort of 48 to 50 hostages and captives, a lot of them are going to be inside Gaza City, and that's why the families of those are right now in the streets, you know, protesting this, and have been every single weekend for the last few months. I was there in Tel Aviv with, you know, what looked like 500,000 people protesting against this new offensive. They are desperately terrified that their loved ones will be killed or starved to death in this, you know, widening offensive and siege. And so that's also pressure that's on Netanyahu right now.
Well, let's talk then about this report from the UN Independent International Commission of Inquiry, which has found that genocide is occurring in Gaza. And there has been a furious reaction from Israel to that report. Can you just tell us a little bit about what it says?
So this marks the first time a UN body has reached such a conclusion that genocide has been committed. Not that it might be or that it will be, but that it has. And according to the authors, it's, quote, the strongest and most authoritative UN finding to date. What they have basically said in this 72-page document that looks at the entire situation for the last 2 years, so it's 2 years' worth of investigation, effectively, is that the intent to destroy Palestinians in Gaza meets the criteria set out in the Genocide Convention. And they basically said that 4 of the 5 genocidal acts outlined in the Genocide Convention have been met. And so this is a very significant moment, because obviously this is a UN body, and also it follows previous reports. We had recently one of the largest organizations, professional organizations of experts, scholars, studying genocide, also concluding that Israel is committing genocide. That was earlier this month. And we've had similar reports coming out of organizations like Amnesty International. This piles pressure on UN member states to take action. This particular report said, you know, failure to do so could have legal implications for UN member states. And they said that again in their press conference. Israel, of course, has dismissed this publication as false. They've said it's anti-Semitic and distorted. And in fact, one of the people on the commission in the press conference, which just finished about an hour ago, said that this was quite a, quote, boring response from Israel, as this is often the way that the Israelis basically criticize these kinds of reports. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's obviously going to pile pressure on Israel's allies.
So this finds that Israel is in breach of the Genocide Convention, right, which was put in place in 1948. But what, I mean, you said there it piles pressure on UN members to take action. What is likely to happen as a result of the report, if anything?
Well, the hope from the people who've written the report is that, you know, because this puts a sort of a legal obligation on UN member states to act. And so one of some of their recommendations within the report is, first of all, piling pressure on Israel to stop committing acts of genocide. And also, you know, for example, countries like the UK and the US, who are weapon suppliers to Israel, to put arms embargoes in place. Now, from the UK's perspective, for example, they've said that they would only look at when a court ruling has come out and said that that genocide has been committed. And there is at the moment a court case at the International Court of Justice, which is basically the most senior world court. But what the authors of this report said in the press conference and also in the report is that if you wait for that, that could take a decade. And actually the Genocide Convention puts pressure on states to prevent genocide. So you can't prevent genocide if you wait a decade for it to be declared. So they're hoping that this will be enough pressure on the international community to take action, to pile pressure on Israel to, you know, to change what it's doing in Gaza, to, you know, impose a ceasefire, and maybe also for UN member states to impose arms embargoes. Unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen. We're seeing states being very, you know, like the UK and the US, for example, you know, effectively backing what's happening on the ground in Gaza, even if they're criticising it.
And Belle, you mentioned earlier that the report finds that Israel has committed four of the five acts laid out in the Genocide Convention. Perhaps we might go through them, because people might be surprised to hear that the allegation in here, or the finding in this report, is that Israeli military personnel have carried out, amongst other things, so torture, displacement, forcing people to live in inhumane conditions that led to death, but also sexual and gender-based violence.
Yes, so the five genocidal acts are killing members of the group, causing serious bodily or mental harm, deliberately inflicting conditions of life calculated to bring about the group's physical destruction, imposing measures intended to prevent births, and this actually is the first time a UN body has ruled that, and then the fifth one, which they didn't find any evidence of, which is forcibly transferring children of the group to another group. So what they've basically said is four of those five acts have been committed, and including systematic unprecedented killings, the destruction of homes and cultural sites, deliberate starvation as a weapon of war, denial and destruction of the healthcare system, sexual and gender-based violence, and the direct targeting of children. In our, my investigation that we did at The Independent, we did find what we believe to be evidence of gender-based violence and sexual violence against, for example, Palestinian detainees in Israeli prisons. That's something that other rights groups have also said has happened, and that's something that appeared in the report. But what is unusual in this report, which hasn't been redressed by any UN body, is imposing measures intended to prevent births. And the Commission's report looks specifically at the targeting of an IVF centre, Al Basam IVF Centre, in December 2023, Gaza's largest fertility clinic. The attack reportedly destroyed 4,000 embryos as well as 1,000 sperm samples and unfertilized eggs. This is what the report says. And so that, they said, showed intention to prevent births. And that's actually quite unusual in terms of people looking at evidence of genocide.
And we know that Israel has rejected this. They call it a distorted and false report. They want the Commission of Inquiry to be abolished. We don't have American reaction to this yet, do we? But we know both Israel and the US have boycotted the UN Human Rights Council, so we can probably expect that they will support Israel in its rejection of this.
Yes, I think we will, you know, you can almost predict what will be said by Donald Trump, which is, again, that this is, you know, incitement against Israel, anti-Semitism. You know, the US has imposed sanctions on the International Criminal Court. They've gone, you know, that far against it. So I imagine, you know, there will be some strong words from the US and possible actions against the people who the three person commission. And, you know, Donald Trump, although he said that he wants a ceasefire and has sort of built himself as a kind of sold himself as a peace builder of a president, and I think even has aspirations for a Nobel Peace Prize, I think he will, in the end, back Israel, back its actions, back Netanyahu, and definitely have strong words for this particular report.
But I know you said at the beginning of our conversation that you were hearing from the director of Al-Shifa Hospital this morning. Have you had any updates from there? And perhaps you might remind us what the director was telling you.
He's just literally in the last 20 seconds sent me photographs of wounded children lying on the floor of the hallway of Shifa Hospital. I've spent a lot of time in that hospital. This is the fourth Gaza war I covered, although the first where I've not been permitted to be on the ground. And he basically said they're dealing with cases around the clock without stopping. They're working on a triage basis. So that effectively means they're just trying to patch people together and try and keep them alive. There's no chance of being able to properly respond to the gravity of the injuries. And he said that most of the victims are women and children, and certainly from the photos that he sent me, I can see toddlers in these images, children who are covered in what look like burns and also dust from the rubble lying on the ground. And this is the deep, deep concern, is that this offensive will see the death toll, which has already pushed past 64,000 dead, according to Palestinian authorities, surge even higher, even as, you know, we're seeing this UN body coming out warning that genocide genocide has been committed in Gaza.
Belle, thank you for joining us. Belle True there, who's chief international correspondent with the London Independent, with that news, as we've been hearing that the Israeli military now have launched their ground offensive in Gaza City as of this morning. Coming up later on, is an electric car more likely to make you car sick? We'll be finding out. Next, though, we cross to Germany, where the prime suspect in the disappearance of Madeleine McCann is being released from prison today.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.